Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I am joined today by the head football coach at Monmouth College in Illinois, Chad Braun. Coach, it's great to have you here on the podcast.
Keith, I really appreciate you having me on. Excited about what you're doing.
Coach, you guys had an outstanding season here on defense. I mean, one of the benefits, I guess, of being a small college coach is you still get to get your hands dirty in the X's and O's. And you guys led the nation in passing defense. You were number 9 in total D, 16th in third down D, and 23 in scoring defense. So you guys really had it all together in every component of defense that you guys were excelling on the field.
Yeah, you know, it's really, you know, the last 2 years we've really played a lot of great defense. In 2016, we had the number 1 scoring defense in the nation. We gave up 9.5 points a game. And 2 years in a row, we've been the number 1 defense in terms of passing yards allowed, you know, in 16 and 17 here. So it's been fun. You know, I got a great coaching staff that I'm blessed to coach with and work with every day. And you know, Keith, it's, you got to have the players, you know, and we got a great group of guys that are really committed to, you know, coming out and getting better every day. And I think that's a big reason why we've had, you know, good success the past couple of years.
The players are a big part of it. And I think, like you said, having a coaching staff kind of gives you that continuity in your program when you could keep those guys together and you work well together. Certainly that's an important thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on our staff, you know, I've been here for 18 years now. I was here 15 years as the defense coordinator. Then the past 3 is the head football coach. And then my linebacker coach has been with me 16 out of those 18 years. And then our defensive line coach has been with us, you know, for a little bit over 10 years, you know. So when they're getting coached by the same voice and hearing the same message over and over and not from a different voice year in, year out, that makes a big difference, you know. As a staff, our guys know what to expect. You know, they know how – we know how each other thinks and just makes a, you know, for a great chemistry on our team.
Absolutely. Coach, we're going to get into your defense here in a little bit, but before we do that, let's talk a little bit about your start in coaching and, you know, what were some of the things, I guess, that number one, let's think of just your start in general. You know, what solidified that this is what I want to do with my life? This is what I want to do as a profession.
Yeah. You know, I think it goes back to when I was a player in high school. You know, I got coached by a guy named Mike Curry, whose son is the head football coach now at St. Francis University in Joliet. And he had a big impact on my life. You know, just the way that he coached me and the passion that he had for coaching football. And, you know, just taught me a lot of things, you know, work ethic and playing together as a team and things like that, you know, I got to experience through him. And then I went on to play college football and, you know, played for a good coach and staff down in Illinois College. You know, Bill Anderson was our head football coach, and Mark Stewart, who went on to coach at Jacksonville High School, who I really got my start coaching under, he was on our college staff, and went out and, you know, spent 3 years coaching with him at the high school level. And then I got on at McMurray College in Jacksonville, where I met Steve Bell, who was our offense coordinator at that time. Steve's the head football coach at Augustana College. And when he got the head coaching job at Monmouth, I came with him to Monmouth, was there 15 years, you know, under him, you know, and then he moved on to the Augustana job and it gave me an opportunity to be a head football coach. But just from early on, I mean, you know, from my experience, and I wanted to make a difference in young men's lives, you know, and I know what a difference football made in my life. And you know, I wanted to use that tool to make a difference in young men's lives.
Coach, looking back at your career and your start, what are some key things that you learned that really have propelled you to the position that you're in? And I, you know, I know you'd probably be the first to say that being named Coach of the Year isn't what you set out to do, but obviously that, you know, when you get those awards, it reflects that you're doing things right. So along the way, you know, what were some of the key things that brought you to this point?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think when I got to the college level, I worked under a guy named Bob Fry, who was the head football coach at McMurray College at that time, and learned a lot of good things under Bob, you know, defensively that I even still use today. But, you know, the biggest thing that I've learned is, you know, just treating players that you coach with respect and caring about them. You know, I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned is you can have all the knowledge schematically, but you know, your players got to know that you care about them. And yeah, I think it's important to build relationships with your players. And I've learned that, you know, through a myriad of coaches, you know, that I've coached with. And you know, I think that's probably been one of the biggest lessons that I've learned.
Coach, as you know, you've progressed to the point where you're the guy building the program now. What kind of things have you done to build that culture, a championship culture? You know, you guys have won it 2 years in a row now. You know, what kind of things go into building that culture?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's really no secret to success. It's, you know, it's about work ethic. And, you know, we want to be a team that works extremely hard, but we also want to work smart too. You know, we don't want to, you know, a lot of people can work hard and not end up winning. And so I think there's a combination of things that we do. You know, our practices are very competitive. We believe practice is everything. And so we do a lot of competitive situations in practice. We'll do third and five. There's five plays. There's a winner and a loser. You can't tie with five plays. And we'll do a goal line session where it's first and goal from the eight. The offense gets in, they win. If defense holds them, they win. And so we do a ton of competitive stuff, you know, during practice that I think carries over into games, you know. And, you know, we want to make our practices extremely competitive and tough, and I think it helps prepare our players for games.
Coach, as you start to prepare your team to go out on the field and thinking about the things you do, you know, in a classroom setting or walkthroughs or whatever it might be, all the off-field things, what are some of the best things you guys are doing off the field?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we do some leadership stuff, you know, during our camp. You know, we take our guys through John Maxwell's 21 Laws of Leadership, you know, and developing leadership on our football team. I think that's important. We always talk about you're only going to go as far as our leaders will take us. And, you know, and so we talk about developing, you know, leaders in our program and investing in the next generation of players to come, you know, and our guys really do a good job of that. But I think a couple of things that we do to kind of build teamwork, you know, like this year we went to a water park during camp. We just got away and got away from it, and it was a great chance for our guys to kind of build into each other and just have a little fun together and, you know, get away from football for a little bit and, you know, become more of a team, you know. And I think those little things that we try and do. Our coaches, you know, really do a good job inviting their players over to their houses and feeding them, getting them away from football. And I think those are some of the best things that honestly we do.
Coach, taking the focus out onto the field and obviously your successful defense, first of all, what is it that you guys base out of? So what are you teaching on day one?
Yeah, so we're a 4-2-5 defense.
With that, you know, what maybe variations do you have that are a little bit different than what other people do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, if you would probably watch us on film, and it probably drives the teams that play us pretty nuts. We're pretty simplistic in really what we do. You know, out of our 4-2-5, you know, we're going to basically match numbers for numbers. You know, if you know, offense is going to try and unbalance us, then we're going to match their numbers. And so that's what we try and do. Everything that we do, we want to match numbers for numbers. And so that's, we're pretty simplistic in what we do. We just try and be really, really good at what we do. So, you know, I wouldn't say that we have a lot of creative stuff in our defense, but really the past 2 years, I probably say I blitzed 10 times in the past 2 years. And so, you know, we've just been really good at getting pressure with our front four and dropping seven coverage a bunch. And, you know, we teach our players stop plays, you know, based on what an offense is doing, we're going to defend it this way, you know, and I think our guys are coached up to do that pretty well.
Coach, you've excelled obviously pass defense and leading the country in, you know, your tops in several other categories, but what kind of things make your players excel in that phase of the game, being able to shut down the pass?
Yeah, you know, I think we give the same look on every play. We start in a too high shell every play, and then we may end up one high, or you know, we may stay too high and either play, you know, cover two or quarter half or some combination of coverage from there. So, you know, I think that's the thing that's really tough for a quarterback. When they step up to the line of scrimmage, everything looks the same to them pre-snap, and then post-snap, you know, we might be totally different, you know. So I think that's probably one of the best things that I think we do from a defensive standpoint.
Coach, looking at some other areas that you've excelled in, third down being one of them, practicing the critical situations, whether it be third down or red zone defense, you know, what types of things are you doing in practice to get your players ready for that part of the game?
Yeah, so a typical week, what we're going to do, we're going to practice, you know, on Mondays, Tuesdays, we're going to practice first down and second and medium type stuff. And that's going to be the focus of our practice, both what we want to be in defensively and then what our opponents are going to do on those downs. And then we'll always do a third down session on a Tuesday against our first team offense to where we're just getting some work on third down. And then Wednesdays, we're doing third down and goal line and red zone type defensive stuff. So that's what we're practicing on Wednesdays for us. And again, we'll do those situations against our first team offense too, to get some work there, even though it's, you know, just so we can get the speed of everything. On Thursdays, we'll come back and we'll kind of do a combination. We'll do some first down, some third down stuff, and kind of prep that. So I think, you know, we're hitting it a couple times, you know, a week, practicing what our opponents like to do on third down and what coverages we want to be in and things like that. So I think that's really helped our success for sure.
Coach, with RPO becoming such a big part of the offensive game, what things have you guys done to take some of that away?
Yeah, it is. It's very difficult to defend. You know, I think knowing what your opponent, which ones your opponent likes, how you're going to defend it based on what coverage we are in. You know, I think that's a big thing, is you got to know which ones they really like, what are their favorites, and then, you know, just rep the heck out of practicing against those and, you know, how you're going to defend it based on, you know, what coverage you're going to be in and everything like that. So
with, you know, RPOs obviously kind of been the rage the last couple of years, do you see any other trends in offensive football that you're going to have to prepare for here in the near future?
You know, I mean, just all the jet motion stuff that's coming in the game now, I just think that's becoming so prevalent, how you're going to defend jet. And just, you know, with the quarterback run game, you know, I remember when I first started coaching, we used to play just a ton of two-man, and, you know, we really haven't played it the last couple of years just because of the mobility with the quarterbacks. You know, there's just so many quarterbacks out there that they can run the football now. It's hard to play two man against that when you got guys back there that can run it so well, you know. So those are, I think, the big trends that you're seeing. And now you look at what, like, Army and Navy are doing with the option type stuff. You don't see it very often, but the teams that do run it, you know, present a big issue. We got one team in our conference that runs it, and it's, you know, a great challenge for us, you know, when we have to defend it.
When you look at, you know, preparations for that week, and we had a, you know, back to my BW days, we had a team in our conference at Capitol where they brought in a guy who was at the Naval Academy. He's at Georgia Tech now, Craig Candido. And, you know, that week for our defensive staff was definitely different than any other. And we saw all kinds of different drills being put out there, because obviously getting your offense to simulate it is a challenge as well. What kind of things do you do to prepare that week for that option offense?
Yeah, one thing we've tried to do is not wait to that week to prep against it. Like, if we know we're going to play that team that year, we'll use a couple days in our training camp to just get some work against it, to kind of prep our guys to get used to playing against it. But, you know, I mean, it's so hard to simulate the speed. Like, I tell our players, we've defended it well in practice, and I said, guys, just wait. You wait till you see it, and the speed that it's going to hit, it's going to be so much different than what you practice against all week. And you just try and prepare your players for that. I know, I think it was last year, I think we shut out our triple option opponent. But early on, like, they, you know, they hit the pitch on us, and we got cut. You know, our safeties were running the pitch man, and we get cut, and we try to work on it all week, and you know, it's just they're so much better at it than what our practice players are, you know. So it's a unique, definitely unique, trying to defend it.
Have you incorporated? I know our defense would be out. They did kind of two variations of this drill. They did one no ball drill, where everybody had to be sound in their assignment, and then they did another where all three players in the triple option were carrying a football. Have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah, we've done the no ball deal. We've done that, you know, just to make sure everybody's, you know, got coverage. We haven't done the three ball one. That'd be a great one to use. But yeah, no, we've definitely done the no ball one just to make sure everybody's honoring their responsibilities for sure in the triple option.
Coach, kind of putting the focus back on you a little bit as we finish up here. We got a few questions for you. Number one, looking back as a young coach, what's a mistake you made and what did you learn from it?
As a young coach, I think I thought I knew it all and I was kind of set in my ways and I had to make a lot of mistakes to learn. And probably, I'll be honest, the greatest teacher that I've ever had is a guy named Jim Pertill, who's up at Davenport, Michigan now, coaching Division II school, and he was the head coach at St. Norbert College. And that guy was such a great offensive mind. I learned so many great lessons going against him, you know, where our defense didn't perform well against him because he was so creative on offense. But he taught me a lot of great lessons going against him year in, year out, you know, and made me a better defensive football coach. But I think as a young coach starting out, try and learn it from as many people as you can. I think, you know, learn as many positions as you can. I think a big key is, you know, even if you're a defensive guy, is to go learn what offensive guys are trying to do and get in their mind and see what they're trying to do.
Coach, I know you mentioned, you know, John Gordon stuff before, and maybe that's it, but what's a book you would recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, probably my favorite and one that I use when I teach a class, I teach a coaching and football class here at Monmouth College. I'm trying to think now. It's Pete Carroll's book. Is it Win Forever?
That's Win Forever.
Win
yep.
Forever.
Got it sitting on my shelf
yep.
right here.
yeah. I think it's a winner. You know, I mean, I've used a lot of that stuff, you know, within our own program and about competition and, you know, and that's really what we want to get are great competitors, you know, out on the football field for sure.
I know, you know, and you mentioned Pete Carroll there. I think one of the things that always struck me about his programs, whether it's been, you know, at the college level or even now at the pro level, is that the players and the coaches who are with him in his program are having a lot of fun. You know, what part does fun play? I know you mentioned the, you know, going to the water park and that stuff, but what part does fun play for you over the course of the week as you, you know, you're working hard out there?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, we want practice, you know, to be live, and, you know, we don't want it to be a place where our guys come out and it's dead. And so, you know, I probably get yelled at about five times a year because, you know, we got music playing too loud in our stadium, you know, by our residents around campus. And so we want to, you know, we try and make that live atmosphere at practice where we got music playing the whole time. And we want our guys going during practice, you know. So we try and do that. You know, I'm probably not quite the practical joker that, you know, Pete was with, you know, some of the things that he did in that book. But we definitely, you know, we want to make sure we have fun, you know. We don't want our guys, I think, like he says in that book, you want your guys playing confident, not playing scared when they go out there to play. And that's how I want our guys on game day. I want them loose. I want them ready to play. I don't want them to be tight, you know, and I think that's a big part of it.
Coach, you have, you know, a relatively young staff, and being the guy who can set the schedule and either make it very difficult for guys or help them find balance. So, you know, what are you doing with your staff to kind of create that work-life balance that, you know, allows them to really feel the rewards of this profession, as well as being, you know, a family man and taking care of kids and stuff like that?
Sure. Yeah, I know there's a lot of guys that are that brag about being in the office for, you know, 16 hours a day, and you know, there's that much work to do. And my personal belief is, let's get in, let's get our work done, let's get home. You know, let's be efficient with our time. I'm not a type of guy that's going to meet with my coaches to death. I expect them, you know, I give them a list of expectations that I expect to get done daily, and let's go out and let's prepare as hard as we can, use our time as wisely as we can, and then at the end of the day, let's go home and be dads and husbands. And I think there's enough time if you're organized and you're planned out that you can get your work done and still be efficient and still go home and be a good husband, father. You know, those things are important to me, coming from the top, and I want my assistants to be, you know, good husbands and fathers too.
Coach, when you look at all the things you do in your program, whether it's stuff in the off season all the way through, you know, everything you do on game day, what would be the one thing you really point to as giving your team the winning edge?
Yeah, I would say, you know, what we do in the off season, just you know, I think you develop mental toughness in the off season, and you know, I think developing that mental toughness in the off season with, you know, our workouts, asking our guys to do things that are not common, you know, that are difficult, you know, and I think developing that mental toughness in the off season helps us carry it over, you know, to the season.
Coach, I appreciate you spending some time with me here and talking a little bit of ball on our show. How can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to get in contact with me, you can either email me at chbraun, B-R-A-U-N, at monmouthcollege.edu. My Twitter is at mcbrawnyboy, you know, so either of those ways, more than welcome to reach out to me, and you know, I'll definitely get back in contact with you for sure.
Coach, keep up the great work, and best of luck to you in 2018.
Keith, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it, and hope you have a great new year. Take care.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.